Again, I thank you for the opportunity to be with you. I'm glad that Lee G got up here and bragged on me that I had 11 grandchildren. But you always, you know, there's always a spoiler. And Wendell came in and said last year they had 4. He's had 16 of them now. So I guess he's ahead of me. I can't. So I'm going to forfeit. We're just going to let Wendell be the winner. The subject matter that we're going to deal with tonight is, are all people going to go to heaven? It is a pertinent question because many in the world actually, if they don't believe that way, they live that way, don't they? They act as though God is going to allow anyone and everyone into heaven. And when we look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever shall hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. The house stood firm, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. That house fell, and great was the fall of it," verse 27. Not everyone is going to heaven. Friends, I suppose we could end the sermon right here. The question has been answered by the Lord himself. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter in. Matter of fact, he said, many will say to me in that day. Many. And they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works?" Friends, there are those that have done a lot of things and a lot of good things that are not going to go to heaven. The words of our Lord, Matthew 7:21-27. Luke 6:46, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in," or, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That was the question that he posed. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't live in accordance to my will? Why do you do that? Friends, those that call him Lord, those that have cast out devils, those that have done many wonderful works, there are going to be found in heaven. In John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Only those that are born of the will of God are going to be found in heaven. Here Jesus pointed out he had came unto the Jew. He came unto his own, and they would not receive him. He pointed out it is not those that are born of blood that are going to go to heaven. And you know, that is a misconception in the religious world today. Many in the religious world believe that if you're a Jew, you're going to go to heaven. You're God's chosen child. But Jesus pointed out here, blood descent has nothing to do with getting to heaven. Those that are born of the will of the flesh, those that live to the way of the world, he said, they're not going to get to heaven. And he pointed out those that live to the will of man, to the teachings and the doctrines, the way men would have them to live, they're not going to get to heaven. But he said, those that do the will of my Father, which in heaven, those are the ones that I have empowered to be my children. Those are the ones that will go to heaven. Now, men are not going to go to heaven, and it is not because God does not want them there. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's will, his desire. He wants men to come to him in repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, verse 6. God gave his Son that man might go to heaven. God does not will any to be lost, John 3:16-17. The Bible teaches us there that God wants all to be saved, that he gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 17. That is the desire of God, for man to be saved. And he desired that to the extent, friends, that he gave his Son. You know, there's a lot of things that I might do for you in my life, but I don't know if I could give a child for one of you. I love you, think the world of you, but I don't know if I could give my child for any one of you. God gave his child while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, friends. It's not God's will that man be lost. God has fulfilled his part of salvation. He has done all for us that he can do. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Again, we are told, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. God gave that Son for our life. He sacrificed him that Larry Garber might live. He's done all he can do for me. The rest is on my part. Again in 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, verse 10. You see, God does not want man to be lost. God's pleaded with man throughout the ages. He pleaded with Israel in the long ago through the voice of Ezekiel the prophet in the 18th chapter of the book that bears the prophet's name. Verses 31 and 32, he said, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. God pleaded, I don't want to see you die. Come back to me. And friends, that's an invitation to every person, regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of gender, it makes no difference. Acts 10:34-35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God does not want men to die. Is everyone going to go to heaven? No. Sadly, they're not. And it's not God's fault that they're not going. One of the great stories in the Bible, and it is a story, not a parable, I believe, and we'll look at a few things in just a moment, but it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Beginning at verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thee. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said unto him, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. Abraham saith, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The end of the chapter, verse 31. Now, friends, when you look at this story, we see hell is going to be populated. There are people that are going to go to hell. And as we noticed in our opening text, some of those are people who have prophesied in the name of God, who have cast out devils. Some of them are those that have done many wonderful works, but they have not conformed to all the will of God, because blood descent is not going to get anyone to heaven. Living to the way of the world isn't going to get anyone to heaven. Living according to the teachings of men isn't going to get anyone to heaven. Only those that do the will of God will be found in heaven. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16, the reason I say this is a real life story and not a parable, the Lord identified his parables usually. Luke 12:16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Luke 16:19 is not called parable of the Lord. Secondly, in a parable, anyone can fit into the situation. Here he named one of the individuals, a certain man named Lazarus. Friends, there was a certain man. This man had a name. He's not teaching a parable here. It said, Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried and in hell. The word hell here is Hades, the Hadean world. We talked a little about this last night. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for the one English word translated in the King James Version, hell. Hades is one of those words, and Hades is the place of the unseen or the place of the departed soul. I've often illustrated this. Some of you have heard probably part of this lesson anyhow. But let's pretend for a minute that this auditorium is the Hadean world. Friends, once you enter here, you're not leaving. You're here. The doors represent death back there. And outside of this building is the representation of the world. That's where we live. When we die, we pass through those doors into the Hadean world, and we are not leaving. We're facing eternity now. There was a time when Larry Yarber did not exist, but there will never be a day he does not exist. We are eternal creatures. Then someday we're going to enter into that Hadean world to face eternity. But things aren't going to be changed. As we see in the Hadean world in Luke 16:19-31, there were two realms, one of comfort, one of torture. The one of comfort is the same Hades that Jesus visited and came out of. We we read in Luke chapter 23, verse 42 and 43, the thief was crucified upon the cross next to our Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Friends, they died that day and they went to the Hadean world. This man sat with the Lord in paradise, as apparently Lazarus was sitting in paradise in the story of Luke chapter 16. To the contrary, there's another Greek word that only appears once in the New Testament speaking of hell, and it is katharos or katharo. It appears in 2 Peter 2:4, for if. And we're going to drop those two words, if you'll allow me, for a moment, because what he is saying, if this is the case, then this is the case, and this is the case. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now you can put the for if God did that, and he did, then the conclusion, as he's writing to those people in Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. He's not saying God might have and God might not have done this. He's saying, since God has done this, this is the only conclusion. This is what's going to happen to you. God didn't spare the angels of sin. He cast them into hell and delivered them in chains of darkness. Have you ever been out somewhere where it is so dark you can't see anything? My children get aggravated me. I drive sometimes with very little gas. We were coming back from a fishing trip one time, and Clint Chuck was with me, and he said, Dad, won't you get some gas? And I said, Son, we got plenty of gas till we get up the road here to this certain place, and we'll stop and get some gas. Well, we got up there, and guess what? The gas station was closed. He looked at me, and he said, Now what are you going to do? And I said, What are we going to do? I said, We're just going to go on and get as close as we can, and hopefully we'll make it. And he said, You stubborn old man. If you run out of gas, I'm never going with you again. Well, luckily we made it. So I could say, See, we had plenty of gas. But when we look at this story concerning the Hadean world, friends, when we contemplate what is happening here, there is that realm. If, he says, if God spared not the chains of darkness, the reason I told that, I did run out of gas in the middle of the night out in a deserted area, way down on a river, and the copperheads are thick down in that area, and I had to walk those roads, and you could not see anything. And I just thought, I hope I don't step on a snake. So to fill your tank up. For if, he's not saying if God did this. God delivered him the chains of darkness. Friends, it was so dark I couldn't see it. You could put your hand against your face and couldn't see it. If you've ever been in that chains of darkness, the darkness is so deep that they're chained. You're not going anywhere. It was like the darkness that fell upon Egypt, you remember. They couldn't move around. They couldn't function because it was dark. The chains of darkness, where they are reserved unto judgment. Hades is a holding place. That is where men go to await the judgment. That's where the souls are held captive. In the one, Tartarus, that is the place where the devils are, the place of punishment, where the rich man found himself in torment. Again, we use this auditorium to illustrate the Hadean world. On the right hand, we have paradise. On the left, we have the Hadean world. The aisle between is the great gulf. You don't pass back and forth, friends. You're where you're at. you're facing eternity from that city. You're not going to pass back and forth. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, that's the way it's going to be. We're waiting the judgment. They were put in those chains of darkness reserved unto the day of judgment. And in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. You see, today he's gathering that kingdom. When he comes again, it's not the time to gather. It's over. When you enter that Hadean world, that's where you're going to spend eternity, either in punishment or either in comfort. See, when he comes again, the Hadean door, they're going to open. Look at Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell, the Hadean world. Friends, when it comes again, those doors are opening, and we're going to face judgment. And the judgment there is not judgment like we think, well, there's a pleading now. There's going to be Jesus is going to say, well, let this one go. If you look at that 2 Timothy 4:1 where we just read, he's coming as the judge. Today he wears the coat of the mediator. Today he will plead in my behalf. And when he comes again, he's coming to pronounce the sentence. He's wearing the coats of the judge. The many faces of Jesus is a marvelous study. Today he is the mediator. Today he is the Savior. Today he is the sacrifice for our sin. Tomorrow he's the judge. He's coming to judge the world at his appearing. We're going to come out of the Hadean world, and friends, we're going to hear where we're going. There's no pleading now. There's no second chances. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Another text I want you to consider this. The great gulf is fixed. He comes. We enter out of the Hadean world. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. There's no need for the holding pen any longer, because there's no one coming here. Hadean world is going to be done away with. All that is left is heaven and Gehenna hell, the eternal fire. We read in 1 Peter 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Friends, I feel sorry for those that want the earth, because it's not going to be a place you want in that day. You see, the saved are going to heaven, but the others are going to Gehenna hell, Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Gehenna hell. That is the third Greek word. You see, Hades is the Hadean hell, is the place of the departed souls. Tartarus hell is the place of the wicked in that realm. And Gehenna hell is the eternal place of torment for man. There is a hell, on the far left, and others are headed that way. You're headed in one of two directions tonight. Today is the day of salvation. You won't have a second chance. There will be no more pleading. Today, Jesus will plead in your behalf, but not me. The population of hell, I want you to consider for a moment. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his servants, Gehenna hell has been prepared for them. Not everyone is going to heaven. Not everyone is going to heaven. We just read Revelation 20:10-15. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat thereon, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. He's coming as the judge. We're going to stand before him. The population of hell, those whose names are not in the book of life, are going to be found in a devil's hell. There'll be no liars there. Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22 of the same book, 14:15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Then the people of the world are not going to be there. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We're not going to delve into this particular area, but if you'll notice what is stated there, it's an eternal punishment. You realize there's three types of death. There is the physical death. Then there is the spiritual death. Physical death is when the soul departs the physical body. The soul comes to the Hadean world where it awaits the judgment. The spiritual death is when we sin against God. Spiritually, I'm dead. And as long as we're living in this physical body, we go in and out of that realm. I can repent and I'm spiritually alive. I sin and I'm spiritually dead. Eternal death is a type of spiritual death, but it differs in that it is finalized. It is eternal, eternal destruction. We're separated from the presence of the Lord. We're separated from the glory of his power now forever, he said. Those that know not and those that obey not are not going to heaven. They will not be found there. The population of hell. Those that fail to do good when they ought to aren't going to be there. You know, this is going to catch a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians. People that profess that they know God, people that profess they are living for God. We've done many wonderful works, James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Matthew 25:41 again. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Do you realize, friends, the sin that was committed there? It's called the sin of omission. You know, the sin of commission, we commit, we do something we shouldn't. The sin of omission, we omit things that we ought to do. And when you read that text, these people weren't fornicators. These people weren't drunkards. These people weren't murderers. They just had not done good. They're not going to be in heaven. Then we need to examine our lives. Because those people aren't going to be in heaven. Sometimes you've heard this, I know. Well, I'm not going to go down there because I'm going to have to sit where a hypocrite sits. You know, there's hypocrites in. Yeah, there's hypocrites in the church. There always was and there always will be. They're not going to disappear. But let me ask you this. Do you want to sit in a building with a hypocrite for about 50, 60, 70, 100 years at most? Do you want to spend an eternity in a devil's hell with a pack of people that are mass murderers, that are rapists, that are drug addicts, then that's the population of hell. Where do you want to spend eternity? You think you're going to escape the hypocrite? You're going to spend eternity with him. I'd rather spend a few days with him on earth than eternity in a hell. Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You want to spend eternity with the hypocrite? Not just that one, but all the hypocrites in every other congregation will join you. The population of hell. Friends, hell isn't going to be a pretty place. Those that have committed the lewdest and the most lowest of sins, we think we have to lock the doors on earth, we're going to be bumping into it constantly. The blackness of darkness. We can't see them if we're on the field. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Is that where you want to spend eternity? Is that the type of people you want to spend eternity with? Not everyone's going to get it. But it's not God's fault. He's done all that he can. He's offered his son. Friends, if you want to go to heaven, you can. All you have to do is to will of God. His will for you tonight, if you're not a child of God, you've heard the word preached, you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you'll make that confession before men, repenting of your sins and being baptized, you're on your way to heaven. If you begin that road and fall into the side, His mercy's still here. There's a second law of pardon. You'll confess the error of your way, repent of that sin, and pray His forgiveness. He will forgive you. Let's change the title just a moment. You repeat what I say in your mind. Am I going to heaven? Are you? You can. The invitation is yours.